This is week three in our series in the book of James. If you haven't been here for a couple of weeks, this book of James was actually written by James, who was the younger brother of Jesus. And James, after witnessing for himself his brother Jesus be crucified and then buried in a tomb and then 3 days later be raised back to life, James became a believer in Jesus. He actually put his faith in Jesus, and then James's life changed. James became one of the four main leaders of all of the followers of Jesus in the early church. And as a leader and a pastor of the church in Jerusalem, James wrote this little book to the followers of Jesus. And the main point of this book that we have been looking at for the last several weeks is this. James says that faith changes you. James says that when we put our faith in Jesus, that faith, it begins to change us, and that change begins to show itself in the actions of our life. James says it like this when he says, "What good is it, my brothers, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? Can that faith save him? So also faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead." Now, James is not telling us that it is by our works or by any of the actions in our lives that we are saved. James knows, like we all know, that our salvation comes by putting our faith in Jesus alone and his work on the cross. When we put our faith in Jesus, believing that the punishment that he paid on the cross was for our sin, the Bible says that in that moment we are changed from death to life. But James says that that change doesn't stop there. James says that faith changes us even still. James says that when we apply our faith to all the different parts of our life, we should begin to see changes in those areas as well. Our faith should change the way that we think. It should change the way that we talk. It should even change the way that we act. James says that faith changes you, and those changes begin to show themselves in the faithful actions and works of our lives. That's why James says that faith without works is dead. So in this book, James is going to walk us through all kinds of different areas of our lives and show us what it looks like when we apply our faith to those areas. Last week, he showed us what it looks like when we apply our faith to trials. And this morning, James is going to point us at another area of our life. He wants us to see what it looks like when we apply our faith there. So if you have your Bible with you, you can open up to James chapter 1. And today we will be focusing our attention on the second half of chapter 1. James chapter 1. So as you're turning there, let me tell you a story. Several years ago, I was living out of state, and I had come home to visit the family for the holidays. And I was staying at my parents' house, and I wasn't feeling very well, so I decided to get some medicine. And in my house growing up, we had a medicine basket. My whole life, I always remember that if you needed medicine, there is a basket under the bathroom sink, and all of the medicine was always in there. So being home for the holidays, I decided, hey, let's go see if this medicine basket thing is still there. And it was, and it had grown. There were bottles and bottles of medicine, and as I scoured through all these bottles looking for something that applied to my situation, there was one particular bottle that caught my attention because it had my name on it. And I thought, I haven't lived here in a really long time. What is this from? So as I read the label on the bottle and I saw that this bottle was 5 years old, I remembered what this bottle was for. For some reason in college, doctors love to ruin your Christmas break by scheduling you to get your wisdom teeth removed. Did you ever do that? When I was in college, I came home one Christmas and they said, hey, you're going to have this procedure done. Your face gets all swollen and you're out of it for several days and there's a ton of pain. I had it done one Christmas and it was miserable. And apparently, it could have been way less miserable. Because there in the medicine basket for the last 5 years has been an entire bottle, never been touched, of pills that clearly read, Dusty Adkins, take for pain. Now, I remember pain, but I don't remember taking any pain pills. Apparently, I did not take any of the pills. Now, what good is a bottle of medicine if you never take it? Everybody knows that the medicine isn't going to do anything for the pain until you do what? Until you take it, until you use it. And the most absurd thing about this is that they don't just hand out pills like this. You have to go through a certain amount of steps in order to get pills like this for pain. I had to get a prescription. I had to get it written by a doctor. I had to take it to a pharmacy. I had to wait in line, and I had to pay for that prescription to get filled. And then after all of those steps, I didn't even do the most basic step and take the medicine. What good is that? How could I ever expect there to be a change in the pain in my mouth if I don't do what the doctor says and take the pills? In the same way, this morning in James chapter 1, James is going to confront all of us with the question, how can you expect there to be a change in your life if you don't ever do what God tells you to do? What good is that? Here is how James says it in verse 22 of chapter 1. James says, "But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourself." Now, James is a pastor of a big church in Jerusalem, so he has a lot of experience with church people like me, people who are familiar with church, people who know how things work around here, people who speak the language and look the part. But James probably knows better than anybody that there are a lot of us church people who don't have a whole lot of change going on in their lives. Now, I'm sure we all have a lot of stories of way back when we used to be and we used to do all sorts of things that we don't do anymore. I'm sure we all have stories of big changes that God has made in our lives in the past. But if we are honest with ourselves, if you're anything like me, then there have been some stretches in my life lately where there hasn't been a lot of changes going on at all. James asks, why do you think that is? If faith changes you, that change isn't just for the moment when you first become a Christian. James says that faith changes you even still. Now, maybe those changes aren't as dramatic and drastic as they were when you first started following Jesus, but there still should be changes in your life. So where are they? Where have the changes been lately? James says, for many of us, the reason that we aren't seeing a whole lot of changes in our lives right now is because we treat God's word like medicine that we have, but we don't ever take. James says that when it comes to hearing God's word, the Bible, many of us have become comfortable hearing, but never doing what it says. James says if you are a hearer of God's word, but are not a doer, then you are deceiving yourselves. Now, this word deceives, it means to come to the wrong conclusion. So James says that if you have become content simply hearing God's word but not actually doing what it says, then you have come to the wrong conclusion, because hearing alone is not what changes you. James says hearing and then doing, that is what changes you. But a lot of us have gotten really, really good at hearing. And I'm speaking from experience because I grew up in the church. And when I say that, it's not a figure of speech. My dad's a pastor, so I literally started coming to church days after I was born. And I went to vacation Bible school, and I went to the youth group meetings, and I sang all the songs, I listened to all the sermons, and I never missed a Sunday at church, so I should be good to go, right, James? I should be seeing changes in my life, right, James? And James says, wrong. If that's what you think, then you're deceiving yourself. James says that attendance in church doesn't guarantee change. James says that listening to a bunch of sermons doesn't guarantee change. James says that reading the right books and listening to the right kind of music doesn't guarantee change. James says all of that stuff is good, but real change begins when you start hearing and turn it into doing. James says, be doers of the word and not hearers only. Now, for me, in my life, this truth is the most obvious right after I mess up. Because whenever I make a big mess in my life, I automatically am aware that, hey, something needs to change here, right? And so I start praying more. I start reading my Bible more. I start putting K-Love on the radio more. Start saturating my life with God and the Bible and church. Do you do this? Something goes wrong in your life and automatically you realize, okay, something needs to change around here. And so we get back in church, and so we get back in the Bible, and we get back to listening to God. Because we're all hoping that if we can just surround ourselves with all of this good stuff, then maybe this time it'll actually stick. Maybe this time we won't make the same mistake. Maybe this time we will actually change. James says, you're deceiving yourselves. Do you want to know why that approach only works sometimes? Do you want to ever wonder why you always fall back into the same mistakes? Do you want to know why you haven't really changed? James says it's because you're doing a whole lot of hearing, but not a lot of doing. James gives us a picture of what it looks like to be a hearer of God's word and not a doer. In verse 23, he says this, "For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man who looks intently at his natural face in a mirror. For he looks at himself and goes away and at once forgets what he is like." Now, how many of us looked at a mirror this morning before we came to church? All right, nobody. It shows. How many of you in your house were late today because somebody spent too much time looking in a mirror? That's because a mirror shows you what needs to change. Chances are the you that we see right now is not the same you that you first saw when you looked in the mirror this morning. Because when we get up and look in the mirror first thing in the morning, we all cringe, right? And we say, ah, that's what I look like? James says we all know it would be foolish for us to get up in the morning, look in the mirror, and see that, and then leave without doing anything about it. James knows that not one of us do that. When we look in the mirror, we automatically take inventory of what needs to be changed. We say, oh, I need to shave, or oh, I need to comb my hair, or I need to put some makeup on, or I need to take some makeup off. When we look in the mirror and see what needs to be done, there is not one of us who leaves until it's done. So James says, why is it that when we all are getting ready for church, we stand in front of a mirror and become doers, but when we get to church and stand in front of God's word, we simply are a bunch of hearers? Why is that? James says that we shouldn't be surprised in the lack of change in our lives if we are only going to hear God's word and never actually do what it says. Here's how it should be. In verse 25, James says, "But the one who looks into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and perseveres, being no hearer who forgets, but a doer who acts, he will be blessed in his doing." James says, this is how we are supposed to respond to the word of God, in the same way that we respond to looking in the mirror. When we look in the mirror and we see something needs to be changed, we do it. We fix it. We see what needs to be done, and we don't leave the mirror until it's done. James says that's how it should be with your life and the Bible. You hear what it says, you look in your own life and see that there needs to be a change made, and so you do not leave until you do it. James says that is how real change is going to start happening in your life and in mine, when you stop being merely hearers and start being doers. Do you see that in here? Now, what do you think would happen in your life if you started being a doer of God's word like this? If you started looking and seeing, oh, here's what it says, here's what I do, they don't match up, I need to fix it. Well, look what James promises. He says that if we become doers of God's words who don't just hear but act, he says we will be what? Blessed. He says we will be blessed in our doing. Now, who wants to be blessed in your life? Who wants to be blessed? I do. If I think about it, that's what all of my prayers basically ask anyway. God, will you do this for me? Will you make this happen? Will you figure this thing out? When I pray, I'm really asking, God, will you please bless me? Well, James says, you want to be blessed? Here is how. The one who does, the one who acts, the one who hears the word and then does it, he will be blessed. Now, what kind of blessing are you talking about, James? I don't know exactly what kind of blessing James says that we will get, but whatever it is, I want it. And the truth is, if I look at my life, if your life is anything like mine, then we've probably gone through some messes in your past, where if you would have been a hearer and then a doer in the first place, you would have avoided all of that mess and all of that pain. Isn't that true? There are times in our life that if we would have just been doers the first time, we could have avoided a giant mess in our life. Well, if being a doer now means I can avoid some of that pain in my future, then I will surely take that kind of blessing, wouldn't you? James says that when we become doers of God's word and not hearers only, we will be blessed in our doing. Do you see that? So who's ready to be a doer? All right, James. You win. See your point. What do I got to do? Give us the list, right? Give me the list. What do I have to do? Because we would expect, after being called out like this, that James would then give us a list of all of the things that we are supposed to do. But James does not do that in chapter 1. Instead, James goes a little deeper. Instead of telling us what to do, James is going to tell us how to be doers. Because we've already been told a whole bunch of stuff in the Bible that we already didn't do. So James says, instead of just giving you another list that you're not going to do, let me show you why you're not doers. Or let me show you how to become a doer. If you back up to the previous paragraph, James writes this in verse 19. He says, "Know this, my beloved brothers, let every person be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger, for the anger of man does not produce the righteousness of God." Now we could stop, time out, end the sermon right here. And as some of us would begin doing just this in their own lives and in their own relationships, there would be changes, right? Don't you think that if in your own life you would start to be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger in your life and in your relationship, don't you think you would see some changes? All of your husbands and wives are going, yes, there would be lots of changes. You should listen. But James doesn't stop there. He says, therefore, because you all know this, put away all filthiness and rampant wickedness and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. Now, I want you to see that the subject of this entire paragraph is receiving the word. James says everything here is describing how we are supposed to receive God's word, the Bible, if we are going to be doers. Do you see that? Receive the word. Now, if we work backwards from right here, what we see is James says that we are supposed to receive God's word, the Bible, with meekness. We are supposed to be humble when we open up the Bible. And if we go backwards a little bit more, James says that when we receive God's word, we are to put away all filthiness and rampant wickedness from our lives. If you want to know what James means when he says filthiness and rampant wickedness, it's all of those times in our lives when we do the opposite of what God wants us to do. If I look back in my own life and see all the stuff that I have done that I'm really disgusted with, the thing that I have in common with every one of those mistakes is that in that mistake, I wasn't doing God's word. I wasn't being a doer of God's word. I was being a doer of whatever Dusty felt like doing. Isn't that true of most of our mistakes? We were busy being doers of us, not doers of God's word. James says, if you want to know the real reason as to why you're not a doer of God's word, it's because you need to receive God's word differently. If you back up, James says, this is how doers receive God's word. They are quick to hear it. They are slow to speak. They are slow to anger. James says, this is how doers of God's word receive God's word. Let's take a look at these for a second. James says that when doers receive God's word, they are quick to hear. Quick to hear means they are ready to listen. Have you ever gotten in an argument with somebody who is not quick to hear? Have you ever gotten in an argument with somebody like that? What are they like? Would you characterize them as a good listener? Probably not. Maybe you have somebody like that in your life that every time you try to tell them something or anything about anything, they're the kind of person that they already have their mind set. They're the kind of person that they're going to do things their way no matter what you say. They're the kind of person that every time anybody tries to tell them anything, they're like, la, 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 I don't want to hear it. You know anybody like that? You have anybody like that in your family? James says, here's what we all know about people like that. They don't change very easily, do they? James says that this is exactly how some of us are when we approach God's word. When we hear something from the Bible that we don't like, we are sitting here going, la, 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 la. It doesn't look like that. It looks like this. But you're doing it, right? James says that some of us, when we open up God's word and hear what God says, we already have our mind made up. We are already convinced that we have a better way. We already think that we know what we're doing. James says, do you know what I know about people who receive God's word like that? They don't change easily. Do you ever wonder why there isn't much change going on in your life? Well, James says, maybe it's because you do a whole lot of hearing, but not a lot of listening. Because James says, doers of God's word are quick to hear when they receive the Bible. He says doers are also people who are slow to speak. We've all encountered people who are not slow to speak. They're the kind of people that always have an excuse. They always have an explanation. They always have something to say about everything. They're the kind of people who are convinced that they can talk their way out of anything. So they just keep talking and talking and talking. Do you know people like this? I am people like this. Growing up, whenever I got into trouble, I always had an excuse. I always had a story. I always had an explanation as to why this wasn't that big deal, that you're overreacting, this really isn't that much of a thing. And then if I couldn't talk my way out of it with my excuses and my explanations, I would keep talking and I would say something like, hey, look what Jordan's doing. Because I would say whatever I needed to say in order to get the unwanted attention off of me and my life. James says, this is how some of us tend to receive God's word. Whenever we hear something from the Bible that shows us that we're wrong, we automatically give excuses. Well, it wasn't my fault. You don't know the whole story. You never met my husband. You really don't know what's going on. So we rattle off all of our excuses. Or whenever we hear something from the Bible that we don't like, we automatically give an explanation as to why this verse doesn't apply to us. Sometimes we go hunting through the Bible to find that obscure verse that we could use out of context, that we can prove our point, that we're doing fine the way that we're doing it. Or whenever we hear something from the Bible that points out a part of our lives that needs work, we try and say something, anything that'll get the attention off of us. James says that people who approach God's word like this, they don't change easily. But doers, when they approach God's word, they not only listen, but they hold their tongue. They hold back their excuses and their explanations, and they listen. Doers of God's word are slow to speak when they receive the Bible. And then finally, there are those who are slow to anger. Do you know what we call people who are quick to anger? Defensive. As soon as you say anything about them in their lives, they jump all over you. And not with excuses or explanations, they jump all over you with anger. Who are you to talk to me like that? You walk a day in my shoes. You think you can tell me how to live my life? And we're like, whoa, somebody hit a button. Defensive people lash out. They are irrational. They don't see things clearly. You know anybody like this? People like this don't change easily. And James says some of us are like this when we receive the Bible. We get defensive. You sit there and you say, don't tell me how to live my life, Dusty. You're short. Whoa. I didn't write this. I'm just telling you what it says. James says that doers, when they open up God's word, they are slow to anger. They might get a little defensive at times, but they know it and they work through it. James wants all of us to see that if there's going to be any real change in our lives, then we need to be doers of the word and not hearers only. And the thing about doers is that they know how to receive God's word. James says that doers, when they approach the Bible, when they hear from God, they receive it by being quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger. So maybe what all of us need to do is cut out this verse and tape it to the front cover of our Bible. And before we open it every time, we say, all right, whatever it says in here, I'm going to receive it. And I'm gonna be quick to hear. I'm going to listen to what it says. I'm going to be slow to speak. I'm going to hold back my excuses and my explanations. And I'm going to be slow to anger. I'm not going to be so defensive. So whatever it says, this is how I'm going to hear it. What do you think would happen if we reminded ourselves of that every time we opened up our Bible? What do you think what would happen if we reminded ourselves of this every time that we came to church? You know, maybe we should paint that on the parking lot. You know, before you come in to this parking lot, remember, whatever you hear in there, be quick to hear. Be slow to speak. Be slow to anger. What do you think would happen if we reminded ourselves of this? James says, I know what'll happen. You will change. Because real change begins to happen in our lives when we stop simply being hearers of God's word, but we start being doers of it. When we apply our faith into how we approach God's word, it says, whatever it says, I trust you and I will do it. Are we ready to be doers of God's word? Will you stand with me as we pray? God, we thank you for your word. And God, we thank you that your word is like a mirror and it shows us who we really are and what we really are like, even when we don't want to see it. But God, I pray that we would be the kind of people that approach your word like we do the mirror. And when we see something that needs to change, we fix it. So God, I pray that this morning, after hearing from James, we would do whatever we need to do to change and become doers and not just hearers. God, I pray that every time that we open up the word, every time that we come together, every time that we hear from you, however that may be, out of faith, out of trust in you, we will receive that word and accept it. We would listen to it, be quick to hear it. We'd be slow to speak, slow to give our excuses and our explanations, slow to become defensive and angry. God, we know that you are good, and we know that the words that you've given us are for our good. And God, we trust that it's true because you gave us Jesus who died for our good, that by his wounds we are healed, that by his sacrifice on the cross we are forgiven of our sins. And if you are for our good then you are for our good even still. God, we know that you want to change us. And you have given us your word and your spirit by which you intend to make the changes in our lives. I pray that we would apply our faith to that. And we would allow you to change our lives by being doers and not just hearers. We thank you. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.